All right, hot off the chopper with Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania 35. It's another episode of the Mirror Gymnastics, a wrestling podcast. My name is Carl, also known as Mr. Meany, and also getting off the chopper is my buddy Paul over there in Calgary. How's it going, man?
Good. Let's get chopped. I don't know what that means, but, you know, just roll with it.
It sounds painful, and I'm sure it is. Gunther will slap our faces off. My God. You haven't seen much of Gunther, have you?
I haven't. I saw him, I think the first glimpse of him was at SummerSlam, and it was an impressive match, but...
You probably hear him every week. You hear this, like, echoing over the mountains. You're like, what's that sound? It's like Gunther chopping people's chests off like a maniac. So anyway, before we get too into the wrestling, I got some whiskey. What are you drinking over there?
I am still on my streak of bourbon. It's just, it's a tasty bottle, and I was taking stock of it as I was pouring for the recording. I'm like, I'm going to have to get another bottle of this because it's going down a little easy.
Yeah. And see, there's nothing wrong with getting the same bottle again and again. Like people, like when craft beer was like taken off, craft whiskey was taken off, everything was taken off, and everyone was obsessed with trying something new every single time they had something. And I was in there too. I was doing it as well. But sometimes if you got a favorite, just get the thing you love. Enjoy the flavor.
So. Yep, exactly.
And you can't get better than this 12-year Canadian Club. I've talked about it before, but if you like Canadian whiskey, it is it's a sipper. You can make a Manhattan out of it. You can make an old fashioned out of it. It's delish.
Nice. Yeah, I'm still sipping on that Buffalo Trace, and man, I am glad that it was a gift bottle because it's the gift that keeps on giving, Clark.
The whole year. The whole year. Just like that Seth Rollins on Twitter, right? He just keeps on giving gifts.
He keeps on giving gifts. Yeah, I was actually just reading, as an avid Bears fan, of course, the NFL draft is coming up. So it's that, you know, the hype of like, who are they going to draft at number one? Well, it's 99.99% chance it's going to be Caleb Williams. And so I was just reading an article of like, what does Seth Rollins think the Chicago Bears should do with the 9th overall pick?
Now tell me, Paul, what does Seth Rollins think?
Well, he's kind of in the camp of, like me and many others. It's like, well, if one of the top receivers is there, you get that guy. If he's not, you get an edge rusher to pair with Montez Sweat. Or best player available, because you've already potentially got your quarterback of the future, so it's kind of wide open.
Now, come on, if you guys do it right, that means that Seth Rollins can't be tweeting every week that he hates football. And that makes me laugh every week. So, you know, I want you to be happy, but I want Seth to be miserable. It, like, both things kind of have to happen at the same time. I don't know how to make that work.
If they lose in an entertaining fashion every week, I'm okay with that. As long as it's not boring-ass football, I'm cool with that.
In related news, and also wrestling news, Aaron Donald, my precious Aaron Donald from my Los Angeles Rams, retired. Made me sad. My jersey is now, I guess, a collector's item. But he was spotted hanging out with The Rock in L.A. a lot, and training with The Rock a lot in L.A. Ooh. And so there's this underground rumor that, because he's also built like a fucking tank, Aaron Donald. He's muscles on muscles. And they're like, maybe Aaron Donald wants to try the Aaron Gronkowski and jump in the ring. And I'm like, holy fuck. Imagine Aaron Donald as a wrestler. I'm like, with his like fun personality, I actually could totally picture it. He's short. He'd be like a little like stocky little like bulldog. I'm like, I could totally see that.
So. Hey, if Gronk could do it, and he very much had that kind of, you know, frat house personality all through his football career, and he made a semi-successful jump to the ring. So
it was cute. Yeah. What Gronk did, it was that one WrestleMania, he hosted it, and like, that was it. It was one and done because he got called back up to the pros, right? He unretired and went back to the NFL. But we thought it was actually kind of
Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. But it was cute what he did. Like, I think he definitely has the right personality for wrestling, but I don't know if he wants to go through a long, stressful, strenuous NFL career, survive without completely destroying his body, and then completely destroy his body in professional wrestling. So, you know, well, he'd have to see. So. What else we got going on? So the other night, you'll find this funny. We went to watch a movie and we had two choices. We were like, okay, we can watch a movie about wrestlers or we can watch a movie starring a wrestler. Like, so it's easier to watch the one with the wrestler in it because it was on a streaming service. We wouldn't have had to steal the other one.
You wouldn't have had to sail the high seas.
Exactly. Here. So
Yar.
we chose the one with the wrestler in it, John Cena being an American treasure. We love that man. So yeah, we chose Ricky Stenicki, and we chose poorly. We chose poorly. He's wonderful in it. John Cena, I've never seen a movie where I liked someone so much in it and disliked the movie so much. Never. I think that's the first time, because most times if you're not liking a movie, the whole thing just, even if you like the actors, the whole thing just goes right in the crapper. But we would just, every time he was on screen, we were laughing and having the best time. So if you walked in the room, you'd be like, wow, they must love this movie. But if you like it, anyone listening, if you like the movie Ricky Snicky, Ricky Snicky, Ricky Stenicki, awesome. But it just didn't land for us. The rest of it was real bad. So anyway, just as a
Well,
warning.
thanks for the warning, because yeah, I heard a somewhat positive review about it on another podcast that it wasn't even on my radar until they mentioned it. But once you put the poo-poo on it, I'm like, yeah, that can come off the maybe one day list.
It's one of those that, like, I don't know, do you ever dislike a movie like a minute in? Like, it just opens and right away you're like, uh-oh. Like, it just feels wrong. The director, however they're doing it, it's off right away. And so it usually a movie doesn't recover from that for me. Sometimes you might think it's slow or what, but this movie just right out the gate, I was like, oh shit. This stinks. But anyway, I'll stop picking on
Is it too late to grab our life jackets and sail the high
it.
seas?
Yeah, exactly. So, I guess we should probably talk about some actual wrestling, not just movies with wrestlers in it. This week's episode, we're going to do a deep dive into a couple more WrestleMania matches. I'm super stoked to talk about them, but that's coming up a little later. We'll have time codes in the notes so you can check those out if you want to skip ahead. But why would you? Because we're going to talk about all the other shit that we've been watching. So, what do you been? Well, you go ahead. You start, Paul. I always start. You start. So, what have you been watching, Paul? What have you been liking?
You're a fearless leader.
I know. I know.
Actually, believe it or not, I have something fun that I thought was something that had kind of gone the way of the dodo in the past. I have NWA to talk about.
Oh my God. I know. I may have watched some of that too.
Well, yeah, there's a certain resource that we use to watch some of the stuff that we are not having access to here, and
Yeah,
luckily they were they...
literally, we cannot watch this product living in the country we live in. Thanks, Billy Corgan. We
So
literally cannot
luckily,
pay to watch it.
no, exactly. Like there is no monetary way we can support
No.
this company that we like, but I digress. We've ranted about that but
We have
before,
indeed.
but I will say it was so nice to get back into it, and it was interesting to really see the difference in presentation, because they had
Yeah.
just recently done an upgrade on their presentation from what they had done before. This is really interesting. Like, they call it the Powerhouse, which I think is a
Yeah.
really
Yeah.
fun name. They've got a bit of a backdrop. You know what I think the biggest freaking difference is? You can see the crowd now, Carl. What were we complaining about?
They're just not sounds that I was convinced was just like a couple stage hands clapping and like, yeah.
So yeah, I think that is the biggest improvement with the new setup for CW, is that you can actually tell that there are legit butts in seats enjoying the wrestling. So
Yeah, and that big sign thing is pretty cool too. So it's just little touches that, because overall the whole thing is pretty much the same as their new rebrand. Like they clearly had this vision in mind, and they probably were building towards this before we didn't we you know before the deal. They were looking for a deal, and they were selling this as their product. And yeah, it looks a lot better. The ring looks better. It's sounds better. I thought the camera work was a little better, and seeing the crowd was better. But overall, it was the same. I liked the presentation of it, was that what we were enjoying. It looked a little more polished, but still rough around the edges. It had that video game kind of feel with the setup sort of videos, and which I like it's cheesy, but it works because cheesy is great in wrestling. So, I didn't watch. I'm not caught up, but I saw two episodes, I think, and it's something that I'm definitely going to pop in and check out. I think they've done. they've done, as long as they can't keep it where we can at least find it somewhere on the internet. So.
And I mean, it's a roster we loved before it was all of a sudden inaccessible. So it was great to catch up with some of the crew that we had been missing for a couple months. But I mean, my only real observations is I don't know what the hell Vampire was talking about half the time, but he is committed and I am in for it because I'm like, yeah, it's almost like the Ultimate Warriors interviews where he was really passionate and you were just on a journey. You didn't know what he was saying,
That
what he was talking about, but you were invested. You're like, I don't know what's going on, but this is awesome.
guy's fired up. Go with that guy. He's fired up. What's he fired up about? I'm
And
not sure. I don't know who he's mad at, but stick with him.
just, it doesn't take long to be reminded of Billy Corgan's storytelling because they did one of the things that, spoiler alert, actually, this wasn't this week's power. I think it was last week's power. Anyways, it was great catching up with Thrill Billy because he's like one of my favorites. And he does the thing that Mr. Meanie hates, where he lays down the title in the middle of the ring because he's going to chase EC3. But
No, I didn't see that.
you know what doesn't make any sense, Carl? When he does that in like the first 5 minutes of the show. And at the 30-minute mark, they're having the first match of the round robin tournament
Oh
to
boy.
see who's gonna be the new North American champion. I'm like, well,
Wow.
come on, guys. Like, maybe space it out a week, but
Yeah,
the
maybe at the
same
end of the last
episode?
episode, you should probably drop the belt at the end of the last one.
But no, drops the title at the beginning of this episode and the tournament to fill that vacancy starts.
So
Like, well, that's efficient.
the leather that belt's made from must be very allergic. So
I know.
if you wear that title for too long, you get a really bad rash, like right above your crotch, and you're like, I don't want to wear, I'm gonna drop this and I'm gonna go after another one. I don't like this one very
The North America, you can't spell nasty without NA,
much.
so I
That's
guess.
true. Wow, so some habits die slowly with Billy Corgan, I guess, eh?
But yeah, all in all, just super fun to catch up with them, and
Yep.
Nate Valentine's back, which is really good. And sometimes you forget how good Joe Galli and Danny Deals are. And going back to them, I'm like, man, these guys, they just work so great together. So yeah, it
Totally.
was just fun to get caught up with them again.
Nice. Nice. I've been, of course, watching a ridiculous amount of WWE. WrestleMania is coming up, and this Bloodline story, man. So they had to pivot with The Rock. They can pretend that they didn't pivot if they want to, but we all know that this wasn't the plan, and then they pivoted. But that doesn't matter. If you do a pivot, you still have to write a good story, and you have to make it engaging. And if you want to have engaging TV for me, have at 10:55 on a Monday, out in the rain in a parking lot behind the Chicago Stadium, a bloody Cody Rhodes line there with The Rock smearing his blood all over a belt and screaming at the camera about how he's going to give this to Cody's mom. I was like, this is fucking great. I was so
Oh
in.
boy.
It was like Attitude Era was back in all the ways that I missed it. All that other stuff can go away. All the isms can stay in the Attitude Era, but it's, if that's a thing to come, if this is where Rock, TKO, Triple H, if this is the attitude they want in WWE, I'm all in. 'Cause it got to the point where I was actually like, man, how long is this gonna go? Like, I was starting to feel bad for Cody. That's how well they did it. I was feeling bad for Cody. I know what wrestling is, and I still was like, oh man, because it had to be a rainy night, so it was pouring rain. Cody's always so put together. His beautiful suit, and there he's soaking wet, and his clothes are a mess, and he's bleeding everywhere. Beautiful television. I was so invested in it. It was fat. The only thing that was missing was a rock bottom through something. I haven't seen The Rock do his finisher in years. So the only thing I was missing was when they were inside the stadium, if he could have just rock bottom through the merch table or something. That was the only thing that I would have been like, oh, there it is, you know, but that's okay. The rest of it was fantastic. And God, I'm excited. What's going to happen at Mania? I don't know, but the build is great. This is, they've got it to the point now where they have these people involved. So basically, Cody and Seth have to trust each other, but I don't know that they do, character wise. And then The Rock and Roman have to trust each other, but I don't know that they do. So you have all of these components, and then there's Drew McIntyre being a pain. CM Punk is floating around. There's all these different people. You got Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso, Paul Heyman. Like there's just all these wild card. Basically, they're setting it up kind of like a murder mystery where you have the room full of people. And everyone's sitting around looking guilty, holding a glass of whiskey and a smoking weapon, and they're like, "Oh, it wasn't me." Like it's, I they can go any direction they want, and I'm not gonna like. I'm trying not to speculate. Speculating is so much fun, but I'm trying not to do it. But it can go any direction. It doesn't matter if I speculate; I'll get it wrong anyway. So, I can't wait. This is gonna be a fun resolution, and that's just one story from a bunch of stories into one main storyline. And then there's gonna be like 12 other stories going on at WrestleMania. It's a fun time. It's a fun time.
And I'm feeding off your excitement because, yeah, I'm really, really, really looking forward to the prospect of watching it live again.
Yeah, it's
So.
and they haven't even the card isn't even finalized yet because and that's a smart thing to do at this point. They have 5 matches per night right now set up. So that's 10 matches total. But last year they had 7 matches per night. So conceivably it could be 1 or 2 matches per night still to come. And they have tomorrow SmackDown, next week Raw, and next week SmackDown to those are the last opportunities you have. And I doubt the go home show rate like the night before. I can't see them making any matches official that night. So it's the next 2 shows, everything else will have to get tied up into a little bow. So, I don't know what's going to happen. There's still missing names from this roster that aren't going to Mania yet. I'm like, Bianca Belair is not on a match yet. I'm like, what is going on? She was on all the posters for like SummerSlam, for like Survivor. She's like one of the faces of the company. So where's Bianca Belair? What's going on? Dominic and Rey Mysterio, neither one of them are on the card yet. I'm like,
Oh,
what's
weird.
going on here? Kabuki Warriors, the tag team champions for the women's, they don't have a match yet. Bobby Lashley doesn't have a match yet. Like there's lots of names out there that are not on the card yet. So we'll see. It might be one of those things where they go, and in an 8-man tag, like the Tony Khan booking for a pay-per-view. If we don't have enough people on the card, let's put a 20-man battle royal in there and just chuck a bunch of names in, right? And I'm okay with that. I'm fine getting people on screen. I think it's great. So we'll just as long as it's well written, give me a good story. So that's it. Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, yeah, it's an exciting time. So it should be lots of fun. NXT is building towards their big stand and deliver. That's the day before on the Saturday afternoon before night one. So, and it's always a hell of a pay-per-view. So that's their Mania. It's their biggest pay-per-view of the year. And they don't get a chance to perform in front of huge crowds very often. And it'll be a 10 or 15,000 seat stadium. So that
Oh,
would be
wow.
super exciting for all of them. So yeah, I can't wait to see
Do they
NXT
always
let
have that
loose.
in the same city as Mania?
Yeah, so they'll book like the hockey arena and then Mania will book the baseball stadium. So
Wow.
the big boy.
Man, that is like the cornucopia of wrestling. Like, if you want to see whatever kind of wrestling you're into, you go where WrestleMania is at and you're going to see it. Even if you don't go to WrestleMania,
I
there's
can't
so
even
many other
imagine, man.
shows.
I can't imagine being booked, like go to the city, spend 7 days there, and yeah, don't even have tickets to Mania. Like save that 5 grand that you spend on that ticket and go see OVW, go see the AEW show that's there, go see the New Japan show that's there, go to like WWE World. So they took what they normally the fan experience just keeps growing there now. Now it's called WWE World. It's like a con that's like a 4-day wrestling convention. I'm like, and this WWE, they're gonna build that every year and put more money into it and make it bigger and better. So I'm like, Jesus. Yeah, it sounds. I would love if we could find a town that we could both travel to, and yeah, just do that kind of stuff for a week, and then watch Mania at like a bar or something with the peeps. Be fucking awesome.
We'll be on Netflix then. We can just watch it in the room because we'll be so tired.
We'll just watch it on our phones. Like we'll jump the bus back to the airport and we'll watch it on our phones. Didn't
Yeah,
you guys come for
it's.
Mania? We're like, no, we're too tired.
Yeah, we're too tired. But yeah, it is incredible. I've got buddies that have gone to a number of them, and I just my first realization of how big the entire weekend was following all these wrestling events that these two buddies were going to every like how many freaking wrestling? I thought you went there for WrestleMania, and then the light bulb moment of like, oh boy, yeah, like it's smart for these other promotions to piggyback on WrestleMania,
Yeah,
so.
oh yeah. When we were when I was catching up on those matches that we're going to be deep diving later, one of them, checking out WrestleMania 35 there, I watched a little bit of the earlier part of the WrestleMania just to get in the mood, and it struck me that that was 2019, and they did the promo for next year, the biggest WrestleMania ever, and they bring up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Stadium, and they got the pirate flags. Like, next year will be the biggest, the baddest. And I had like the flashbacks. I'm like, they don't know about COVID yet. I'm like, they don't know the pandemic is coming, because that's the WrestleMania that got like almost canceled, and then they had WrestleMania in front of no one. Like, it actually gave me like kind of chills in that weird way where you're watching the past and these people have no idea. Like, they have no clue what is coming. Like, oh man, for that big stadium. Because seriously, that's a WrestleMania moment you haven't witnessed yet. We'll have to revisit that at some point. Like, that is an experience. It's not even the Thunderdome when they had all those screens with the faces. It's just a big empty room with a ring in it and wrestlers coming down. Like, it's an experience to watch that WrestleMania, because they
That
did
is
it. They still
bizarre.
did it, right? They championed through it, but fuck, it was strange. Especially the Edge and Randy Orton match. They had the most brutal sounding last man standing match. Like, there was nothing. It almost was gross. It was, you could hear every
Because you can
wet
hear
punch.
everything.
Oh, it was just these wet punches and crying and moaning and people, like, it was very uncomfortable. My wife was upset during it. She's like, this is gross. I feel uncomfortable.
We mute this?
Yeah. And of course, it had to be like the longest one ever. Like, it just kept going forever. So, and it was great. Like, they did a great job, but it needed the crowd. It needed roaring. It needed cheering. Wrestling really needs that. It really does. It really does.
A good exercise in just kind of oddity and curiosity to go back and watch it, because you're right, like so much of it, like the performers feed off of the crowd, and if
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no crowd, what are you feeding off of? Like,
Oh, yeah.
there's, I mean, you can perform and that's fine. I mean, these are well paid and high octane performers for sure, but that is that's an empty element. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we during that period, I watched football matches, like soccer matches, with empty crowd, and you can hear the fascination wears off quick,
Oh,
where
yeah,
you're like,
big time.
you can hear them talking and you can hear every little thing that you don't normally, and then you're like, yeah, this is kind of boring. This is like watching a practice.
Yeah, no, you don't take it for granted having people in the audience for a spectator sport, especially something that's theater and needs the crowd to fuel things and help things change. And like, you look at Drew McIntyre, his whole story right now is piggybacking off of Cody's by saying, you're trying to finish your story, I'm trying to finish mine, because I was world champion. I won a WrestleMania title match in front of no one. And he had his moment sort of for him stolen, because he's, yeah, putting the belt up in the air to nobody, right? There's no one cheering him on. It's just him alone. And then, but he never, that was during the pandemic. Every time he ever defended the belt was in front of no fans. He never once was champion in front of people. So that would sting. That would definitely sting. So I like his story too. And I think we might see both stories completed this year. We'll see. I think Drew and Cody, I can see them both coming out with titles, or I can see them both not, and fuck it, who knows anymore? Who knows?
The Great Chase.
So WWE cooking, looking great right now. So AEW has been good. I'm not caught up, but I don't worry about that stuff anymore, because I can only watch as much wrestling as I can. But I did see Adam Copeland and Christian Last Man Standing. So I don't know if we
Oh
want to open
boy.
there or if you have other things you want to talk about, but that's the only match that I really have in my notes, because, whoo, baby, that was, I think, easily the best last man standing match I've ever seen. So,
Yeah, that was a hell of a one. That's a great place to start. So, I
thank you.
mean, you're the one that was the fan of these two boys long before I was. So
And I never
lead
would
us into
imagine,
this.
I wouldn't imagine at 50 years old that they would put on one of their best matches they've ever had. But there it was, these two 50-year-old guys that are both so good at selling and creating the story that they're supposed to be. Because selling is way more than just like telling us that you're hurt. That's just one part of selling. Selling is selling you to us. Tell us who you are, and not just tell us, like, show us who you are in your eyes, in the things you do, the way you act, everything. 24/7 when you're out there. Like the whole time we're watching you, you should never turn that off when you're in pain, when you're not in pain, when you're causing pain, whatever you're doing. And that match was just perfect. I had no problems with it. Like it may have got a little cringy at the end just from the they start pulling out bats with fucking nails sticking out of them.
Ooh,
I'm like, I'm
yeah.
covering my face. I'm like, oh God, guys, don't do what are you gonna do with that thing? It's like Mad Max kind of terrifying weaponry,
Yep.
but that's its job. It made me uncomfortable because it's supposed to make me uncomfortable. So I'm not against, I know I've complained about glass and certain other things, but that's when the glass is shattering all over the arena and all over people. Pulling out a dangerous thing to make me cringe and scared, that's effective. That's like in the horror movie when the guy pulls out the big knife. He doesn't have to necessarily even stab anybody with it, but you see it and you start thinking about him stabbing with it. And that's,
It's the threat of it.
yeah. So, but yeah, that match went all over the stadium. It was
Oh,
complete
yeah.
chaos. As a Canadian hockey fan, like, come on, when
Yeah,
jerseys appear on wrestlers, like he puts the enemy jersey on his enemy so that he can beat him up at home in his Maple Leafs jersey, and that just got the crowd going even crazier. And they pulled a hockey net out. The only miss was that hockey net spot was almost too fast. I wish the net had come out and they had sort of danced around it for a bit, maybe avoided it. And then the big conclusion was like scoring a goal with Christian by chucking him in there. It kind of the net thing happened too fast. I could have seen that for another 5 minutes probably, but fantastic. Like I love seeing. I told you about the hockey spot with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn when they were in Pittsburgh. They came out,
Yeah.
they had their jerseys on, same kind of idea, and it's just. You're guaranteed to get the crowd pop, right? Because you're in a hockey arena in that hockey town, your hometown, and they see the blue and white Maple Leafs. Like Chris or Edge, sorry, Adam Copeland, he comes out in the Maple Leafs colors anyway, right? The blue and the white. And yeah, he had that crowd in the palm of his hand the whole night. Christian was he's such a good seller. Like when he's begging for his life, it's one of the like you're supposed to be like feeling sorry for someone when they're like that, but when Christian does it, it's fucking hilarious. He just he
Yes.
slays me the way he begs for his life. And yeah, it was great. I loved it. It might have got a little messy at the end when too many people were involved, but
Yeah.
that always happens. I found once people were
Yeah.
chained in all the corners, I was like, okay, this is getting a little out of control now, but
Yeah.
it didn't spoil the match because it actually that was a very original finish. I've never seen a match end quite like that. So yeah. What do you
Yeah.
I take it you enjoyed as well.
Oh yeah, it was great. There were so many spots that I'm like, how do you even really quantify this with any kind of notes? You just have to go with exactly what you did, like all the fun spots. And also, I really love how kind of when they broke into the industry, they were kind of similar. Their portrayal of the characters are completely opposite now. You've got
Totally.
Adam Copeland that's the, down to earth, kind of rock star leather guy, and then you've got the patriarchy of Christian, and kind of that he thumbs his nose at you, and they're very polar opposites right now, which I think is so fun because it would be so easy just to do them the same character, and I think they've done a really good job of going separate paths, and that really, I mean, in real life, they're such great friends that they know and trust each other, which then allows matches like this to happen with such fun spots. And I agree with you. When Adam Copeland brings out Spike at the end, I'm like, okay, how are they going to get out of him not hitting him? Oh no, he's going to hit him
He's
with this. I'm like,
gonna hit
but yeah, so much fun and so much emotion in it. Like you said, like these guys are at the top of their craft where they're selling the emotion of the moment too,
Yeah.
because this has been building for months and you need that payoff for the months. So yeah, I thought it was great. It was well worth the hype because sometimes these types of matches just kind of land like a wet fart, and
Totally.
this was not that. This was thundering.
Just good stuff. Good television, those guys. Very good. So that was the highlight from A&W. From A&W, I'll have the Papa Burger and the
Ba-dum, 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 dum.
AEW All Elite Wrestling. Yeah, other than that, it was Eddie lost one of his belts. And I think he's
Yeah,
gonna lose.
which
I think he's gonna
you
lose the
had
rest
to
of
know
them
was
now
going to
too.
happen.
Well, I think he's gonna
Yeah.
lose all three. So,
Do you?
yeah, he's not the type of guy that I think wants to be champion for a long time. Like,
And
it's a
he doesn't need a title to be
no,
over.
he's so far over, and it was amazing that they gave him the chance to be tri-champion. Like, Eddie Kingston, like, oh my God. So, I don't think it'll last much longer. Next pay-per-view, I think it'll probably drop both belts, but we'll see what they do. I'm so glad for the guy anyway.
They were definitely playing with their shiny new toys because Mercedes Moné was very heavily featured, which should be because she brings a lot more, as we've said before, a lot more legitimacy to the women's side of things. So
Oh
she
yeah.
should be featured. And Okada, I mean, he's the rainmaker for a reason, so he should be heavily featured, whether you like how he's being used or not. We'll see. But yeah, and
They're still cheering that heel, let me tell you.
yeah. And yeah, they're introducing some fun new. There's a new babyface faction, I think, called the Infantry, which they're kind of a military vibe, I guess. I don't know. So, hey, they're okay. I mean, they beat House of Black in this tournament for the tag titles. So, and that was just the preliminary round to get in it, which makes sense. I mean, House of Black, they're already heavily featured. They don't need to be in this tag title
Totally.
tournament either. So they're already over. They're already doing their own things. So yeah, it's a solid week, solid show. But yeah, Christian and Edge by far the highlight of this week.
I'm still really feeling the growth of Swerve. I think Swerve Strickland is he's
Yes.
gonna be champion if he can avoid getting hurt. I think he's on the trajectory to be at the top eventually. I don't think Samoa's
Yeah.
rule is over yet, but because let's face it, everyone's kind of a fill-in for MJF right now, and the big question mark as to where is MJF? Like, if it's an injury, they're really not publicizing it, which is not a bad thing. It's just it is amazing that it's just so much questions online. I guess it's good for interactions and clicks because nobody has a clue where the guy is or what's going on with him. So.
I just think you kind of look at injuries in the past of people, and I think of like Stone Cold when he had that neck injury after the unfortunate pile driver, right? And he still wanted to be present and visible, so he didn't lose any of that. And don't get me wrong, like the minute MJF gets back, he's there, he's lost no steam, no momentum. But it's yeah, it is odd that he's not visible
I
at
know.
all. Like
And
not even
all,
in the storyline, not even in the background,
yeah.
just gone.
It's creating all this like online speculation that he's coming to WWE, and I'm like, he's not coming to WWE. Like one, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that his contract is to like 2026. So that's not ending just because he's injured or whatever's going on. Maybe he's been filming a movie or a TV show or something, but he's not his character that he likes to portray. You can't, that won't be in WWE. Like it's just two different companies. So not one's not better than the other. They just manage themselves differently. And with the current roster of WWE, where would MJF even, is he going to go to NXT and start at the bottom? When if he comes back in AEW, he's at the top. So none of it, that speculation doesn't make any sense. So people need to stop speculating that that's happening. It's not happening. So even though it would be hilarious, he comes out at Mania, that would be hilarious. Not happening. It's not happening. Mercedes was the one that I thought would happen. That one didn't happen either. So it's, the AEW is having a good year this year for capturing the big fish. The big fish. They've had a good
Well,
trip.
and speaking of, I finally got to hear Ospreay's promo, and you're right. That guy is absolute gold money fire.
Right?
Whatever you want to say,
It's
you
so
put a mic in his
different.
hand, and it is great.
But it's different, right? It feels different than everybody. I'm like, I've never really heard a promo done like this. It's got this like, I want to have a drink with this guy attitude. I like it a lot.
Nope. Awesome.
So yeah, that's about all the AEW I've been watching. I'm gonna try to get a little better at catching all of Collision. This week I missed. Oh, there was no Collision this week.
There was no
Right,
collision
that's
this week
perfect, perfect. So,
because it let us watch Dynamite
that's true.
with that awesome match.
That's true. That's true. Now, I admit I just watched that match. So, sorry to the rest of Dynamite. I did completely cheat and just watch that match. But it was my two guys wrestling, and I had it hyped up. So I'm like, I gotta check it out. So, I didn't watch any TNA. I'm a terrible person.
No.
But you can fill me in on what I missed. What's going on in TNA?
Well, I still believe in Joe Hendry because, man, that just, man, so fun.
Thanks for that, because I haven't had that in my head for a week. So now there it is.
There it is.
It
Yeah,
replaces
just
the X-Men 97 theme, which I've not been able to get out of my head all week. So,
all week.
yeah.
Kazarian and Ace Austin, who is from ABC, the tag team I like, they had a banger of a match. It actually made me really appreciate Ace Austin as a single performer, because he's very athletic, and he's one of those types of performers that he moves in and out of the ropes so differently than a lot of other wrestlers. And it made me appreciate Frankie Kazarian a little bit on a different level too, which was nice. The system is still working. It just seems like they're building for like a Nick Nemeth versus Moose kind of collision at some point. And Jordynne Grace is just fucking unstoppable. Like, there's just, like, you're talking about Aaron Donald earlier being a tank. Well, that's fucking Jordynne Grace. It's like, she's who's gonna take the title off of her?
So I didn't even watch TNA this week, and I can say with full confidence, man, Jordynne Grace was awesome this week. She was
Yeah.
awesome. Guaranteed. Just
Yep.
guaranteed.
Yep. She was. She fought Sasha Steelz, and it was a good match, but it's just at the point where there's no mystery whether she's going to keep the title or not. If she loses the title, it's going to be through some circumstances out of her control.
I agree totally. So I did notice that the Pro Wrestling Illustrated cover this month is Mustafa Ali, which is kind of awesome because there hasn't been a TNA X Division champion on there since Samoa Joe in 2006. There's a little factoid
Wow.
for you. So that's a long time ago. That's like 18 years ago. So pretty good for
Jeez.
Mustafa. So yeah, and good for TNA getting some spotlight after their return. So things seem to be going well. Oh, Paul, I think the number 17 bus is here. So we better get on. Is it's going to take us down the road to WrestleMania in the past, my friend. In the past, we're going back in
Nice.
time.
Grab them tables, grab them ladders, grab them chairs.
That's right. WrestleMania 17 is where we're heading. This is one of my favorite WrestleManias. It looks a little rough, as all the old ones do, when you look at the production value then to now. But if you look past all that stuff to the wrestling itself, the wrestling is awesome, and that's why we're watching this stuff. So, you hadn't seen this match, or at least you don't remember if you have seen this match before.
Yeah, it's if I've seen it, it didn't stick in my brain meats. And after watching it again, I would remember seeing this, I would think.
Right? So you must not have seen it, because there's no way that you forget that match at WrestleMania 17.
Well, and there's certain parts of this match that are shown on highlights a lot.
Sure.
So I've seen a couple of the bigger spots. That was a long time ago, so maybe I did see it and it just like in and out of the old brain. I don't know, but wow. Yeah, it's how do you watch this and not remember
Oh, how did I forget that Paul Heyman was on color? That's the thing. He
it?
spoke, and I'm like, oh my God, Paul Heyman on color. This is fantastic. Like, he's doing a match with the Dudleys in it. That's amazing. Right, his ECW boys. So that right off the bat, I was excited. So there was no vignette from the thing I watched. There was no setup video. It just dove right in. But the announcers did such a good job of setting it up, of without really talking about too much. Just they set the stage by saying Rhino had got hurt by getting assaulted. He's out. Lita had got hurt. She's also on the shelf. Spike Dudley hurt. On the shelf. And you're like, oh, who are these three people? Oh, they're the seconds for both of these teams. Oh, this feud must be fierce since they've knocked out each other's, corner person. And now they're all shorthanded coming into the match. Like, perfect way to set that up. 'Cause I'm like, oh, okay, this rivalry is pretty serious. I didn't need any backstory. I was already like, okay, three teams that despise each other. Then the fucking Hardys come out. Holy shit, does the roof blow off that place? Like, of the three entrances, they all got good pops. Nothing like that Hardy one. Holy, I forgot how over that team was. That music hit and the people lost their damn minds. Wow. I was impressed. I was impressed. Because I like the Hardys. I was a fan, but I didn't remember them being that over at all. So, yeah, each entrance was good, quick, fast. Christian's glasses. I see nothing's, he's still as hilarious now as he was then, because those fucking glasses, no one would be caught dead in those. And he's strutting down with that ridiculous look on his face. God, he's just so He's just so good. I had to make a comment about his glasses. So
I
good.
loved kind of like the Elton John oversized glasses made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, basically. So this was a match about spots. This was a match
Yes.
that, when you have this many teams, I've complained in the past about overuse of weapons, but if you want to hit me in all the right spots, well, don't, for one thing, don't hit me with a table or a ladder or a chair. But I want to watch other people get hit by ladders and hit by chairs and fall through tables. I can watch it all night. I really enjoy that type of violence. I do like some violence in my wrestling, and that apparently, like two men holding a ladder and driving it into another man, I can watch that all day. That makes me so happy. Oh my God, that must hurt so much. That sound of the ladder, and I know it helps that the metal is hitting each other, like the legs smack together and whatever, but it works on me, makes me cringe. My nuts go up every single time in my body when I hear that sound. It's like, damn, holy crap.
It's a spectacle of theatrics for sure.
I see the crowd. It's 23 years ago, and the crowd, they still do it today, chanting, "We want tables." Back then, it was just to the Dudleys. The Dudleys is where that all started, going, "We want tables," and eventually they'd bring them out. Now, every single match that you watch, if anyone touches the ring apron and lifts the whatever the fuck you call that thing, what do you call that thing? The drape or whatever it's called. If you lift that up, like people just go crazy. It's all because of the Dudleys. It's all the Dudleys' fault, and God bless them. Is Dudleyville? Dudleyville is right outside, parts unknown. Thank you, JR. That was a great line. I had to write that one down.
Yeah, I laughed a lot.
I forgot about their "What's up?" off the top, the crazy Dudleys and their glorious headbutts to the groin, which the announcers would always comment, "That's not good for reproductive health," or whatever joke they'd want to make. So. But yeah, people were eating up everything that the Dudleys did. That match got off the rails real fast. Like once
Oh
tables
yeah.
started getting built and ladders are being positioned, and it just yeah, it went completely crazy right away. Christian off the ladder to the floor. Like I don't know if he was
Man.
supposed to catch the rope on the way down, because Edge later on did the same spot where he got thrown off the ladder and he landed on his crotch, I don't know if Christian was supposed to catch that. He just went straight down and landed on his hip. And he
I
was.
yeah, I cringe like because the first shot you see, he falls off, and because it's from the opposite side, you just see Christian fall off the ladder and then disappear. And you're like, what happened to him? And then they have that over the shot replay, which I will say, watching WrestleMania through the ages, it's fun to see
It is.
the change in presentation because now you get the replays that you didn't really get a lot of in the early days. And yeah, that overhead cam where you see him fall to the outside, and yeah, it made
Ooh.
my sphincter pucker.
And he was out of the match for a bit. Like, I know it's a ladder match, so guys always take breaks and stuff, but I didn't see Christian for a little bit after that. I think he was resting
Yeah.
up. So that's when the returns started. So suddenly Spike Dudley was running down. I'm like, oh, here comes little Spike. Now, Spike Dudley, the history of him, I don't know if you've seen any of the compilation videos of some of the worst bumps in the history of wrestling have been taken by that guy. It seemed like other wrestlers, I think he was just daring them. He was kind of Darby Allin, before Darby Allin.
Oh,
He
really?
would just ask people to throw him around because he's a little guy. So big, strong wrestlers can just pick him up and chuck him around. Oh, he takes some of the worst bumps you'll ever see on the internet. Just straight from the top of the rope to the concrete floor on his back. And you're like, he
Jeez.
can't do that, dude. Maybe it's because he's light. Gravity's not as bad. I don't know how that works, but. So he ran down. He did that awesome bulldog on Christian through that table. I really enjoyed that spot. That was a great spot. But this led the parade because then Rhino comes running down. Oh, he's not injured either. And he spears Matt through the table. And Matt Hardy hits his head on the table going through. Oh, there were so many spots where like I could see the birds, the old Looney Tune birds going tweet to tweet around his head. I was like, oh, dude, man, that would have hurt. So it basically JR said. This people talk about the car wrecks on the 110. We've got one right here. I'm like, yeah, the ring looked like a car wreck at that point. Lita came, suddenly Lita's in the ring. She's giving people Hurricane Ramas, and then then she takes a 3D from the Dudley boys. That was the end of Lita for the rest of the match. Like, oh shit. Nobody's safe in this match. Nobody was safe. So yeah, it was total chaos. having Paul Heyman doing the commentating, saying that everyone was a victim in tables, ladders, and chairs. Like, yeah, everyone's a victim. There's no winners, just a bunch of losers, that's for sure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this match because you're right, like it was really all about the spots. Like there's one mid-match where I can't remember if it was Jeff or Matt Hardy is like hanging off the center
Oh, that's Jeff.
belt.
Yeah, it's Jeff.
Yeah, and then Edge spears him off a ladder that's right adjacent to it. I'm like,
Yeah.
that is such an iconic shot.
Right, you've seen that one so many times, and
Yeah.
when you actually watch the match, you get to see that, why was he up there? Well, you got to see him do that crazy where he walks like
Walk.
lily pads across the three, but it doesn't work. And the one starts to fall. So then he starts to, and I'm like, he's gonna kill himself before he even, like, I haven't seen the spear spot yet, and he's gonna die. And he actually fell to the ring and had to go back up again and get back on the belt. I'm like, I guarantee that wasn't
Yeah.
supposed to happen. It's the chaos of TLC. Like, damn. But
Yep.
before that, Jeff pulled out that 20-foot ladder outside the ring. Remember? The 24
Oh,
one?
yeah.
When it's outside the ring and he climbs to the top and he was taller than where the belt was hanging. I'm like, Jeff, just lean over. The championship belt is right there. Instead,
It's so easy.
he jumps off the top of it down through some unfortunate soul. Might have been Edge, might have been a Dudley. I don't know. It doesn't matter. There,
Might have been Rhino because Rhino got nailed at some point.
it might have been Rhino. Oh man, Jeff Hardy.
Like that stack of tables spot where, oh boy,
That
like
was
there's so many
Bubba
spots. Like
Ray.
you.
That's Bubba Ray and Matt that took that spot. Ooh.
Yes.
Because they set those tables
That.
up at the very beginning. The two Dudleys went out there
Yep.
and they set them up and then they just leave them there and you forget all about them. You're just like
Yep.
watching the chaos. Oh, this is crazy. Oh, what's happening? They're being pushed off the ladder. Oh, they just fell through four tables, like to the floor
No
through four tables.
big deal. No
And
big deal. Just
did
four tables.
you happen to notice how they didn't move a whole lot after that? I noticed they went through those
Yeah.
tables and that was it. They were just like they're done.
Yeah,
They're
that was
tapping
it.
out.
Done.
Yeah. JR, for the love of God, after that spot. So JR was in fine form. And then I like that the ending kind of came out of nowhere. Like suddenly,
Yeah.
because they all go climbing up ladders a million times. So you start to not believe it anymore. You're like, something will happen. To have Rhino come below Edge, get him on his shoulders and just like drive him to the top to victory was very creative. I hadn't seen that done not quite like that. And yeah,
Yeah.
that was a good way to end it because of the three teams, from the crowd reaction, you figure Hardy Boys are going to win it. From just an overall like dominating team, Dudleys are probably going to win it. But I like that Edge and Christian sort of like stole it because they were kind of the heels of the bunch. They were the ones that when they came out, their pop was quiet because at this point they were, people know who they are, but they used to be vampires in the Brood, and they're trouble, and they're kind of annoying, but boy, can they take a spot? And I think that was the night that they really each put themselves on the map as far as people knowing, oh, these guys can go like for real. They just beat the Dudleys and the Hardys at WrestleMania like that. That right there, you could retire and be like, yeah, we did that.
We're
That's
good.
successful. Yeah,
Well,
we're good.
and I remember in the commentary, they were saying that in the previous WrestleMania, they went in and beat the Dudleys for the tag titles.
That's right. That's right.
So, because even then, because not having seen this match before, to my recollection, I didn't know who was going to win. So I was thinking, like, well, okay, is that just telegraphing that essentially they're not going to win? Because are they going to do that two WrestleManias in a row? But I agree with you. I did like that it kind of came out of nowhere where you've got all these big spots and then all of a sudden it ended to the point where anticlimactic isn't the way to put it, but it's abrupt. And suddenly they're walking up the apron, and I almost expected some kind of retribution or backlash or something, but
Yeah.
then it started going into the next match, and all I could think of is like all the chaos and broken tables and everything around, and thinking, man, I'm glad I don't have to clean that up because
Right? What
it's
a
like a
mess.
cyclone went through.
And that wasn't the main event. Like, there's a whole match coming out. There's matches coming after that that someone has to clear up the wood and the pieces and the just, oh my God, the chaos and the I didn't see any blood. Somehow they managed to avoid any blood spots in that one. I don't know how,
Ooh,
because
good point. Good
Anybody
point.
busted open, like usually, like even like arms and legs in those patches usually get some sort of bad scratches that end up getting blood on something, but I didn't see any. So
No, I didn't either. I hadn't even thought of it until you mentioned it. But
yeah.
yeah, because yeah, usually somebody will take a ladder to the face, and then yeah, you see a trickle of blood from the forehead
Yeah.
or whatever. But yeah,
No,
huh?
chaos, and I think that match is a win. I definitely I think our streak is continuing of that match has survived the test of time. That is still a ridiculous car crash banger. That will not be the last time I see that match. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
That takes us down the road 18 years later to WrestleMania 35. This is not that long ago. This match is fairly fresh in the world of wrestling. We're looking just pre-pandemic, the last WrestleMania before the world shut down. And this one, there was a vignette. I don't know if you got to see it or not, that set up the match. But it set up the match really well because I was like, ooh, this is fiery. Like, there's that scene in the back where the cops are arresting one of them, and Becky and Rhonda end up in the back of a car, and they kick the window of the car out. And I'm like, oh, there's some fire in this rivalry between Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey, and the man Becky Lynch. Oh man, they were on fire, and you could tell, just to dive right in here, that it was a long show because at the very beginning it was a little quiet in the stadium, and I could
I
tell
thought so
it
too.
was 6 hours in, right? This is when there wasn't two nights for WrestleMania, so. Because I remember I watched this WrestleMania and I remember the crowd being hot and I was like, oh, it's a little quiet, but I'm like, well, they've seen like 15 matches already. This crowd has
Yeah.
been there all freaking day. It was a hot, sunny day, and now it's nighttime. It's time for napskis. You've all had 12 beers, and like the day is supposed to be over at this point. So, and the first couple minutes of the match was, getting the feelers out because they all had their entrances. Charlotte comes in the helicopter. Now, my wife was in
That
the
was
room.
amazing.
It was amazing, but my wife, she pointed out that the production team and directors are better now than they were then because she busted them on how quiet it all was. She landed, got out of the helicopter. There's no music. There's no
Oh,
sounds.
yeah.
And then
Yeah.
she's putting the robe on and it's just dead silence. And Margo's like, why is it still quiet? She's like, Triple H would not allow this. He would not allow this to be quiet. And it's true. Like, it was about 4 minutes of like no sound. It was really
Just
weird.
her walking in.
Yeah, it was very strange. There should have been music. So, but and really her walk-in should have led right into her entrance. I'm not sure why they didn't just pre-film it and then cut it so that she just walked straight in. It seemed a little weird to then have Rhonda's entrance next. It was before Charlotte even came in. It was a little weird how they did that. But I think they literally did it live, which you don't really have to do it live. Like, no one cares if she's actually flying in, unless she flies into the ring and comes down on a ladder. If that's your plan, I want to see that. Like, the ladder lowers her into the ring, you're like, holy shit. But obviously they're not going to do that because something will go wrong and helicopter blades will slice up your front row. So we know that will
Yes,
happen.
that ends badly.
That ends badly. So Ronda Rousey coming out with Joan Jett was kind of cool. I thought that was kind
I
of
thought
neat.
that was awesome.
I like when bands sing people out. I thought Rhonda could have been a little slower with her entrance, just to let Joan Jett, like, she's gonna be singing for 3 minutes. So I thought she should have hung out on stage with them a little bit, like arm around, sing the lyrics or whatever, and then head to the ring. She was in kind of a rush, but
It
I
kind of reminded me of like the Eddie Kingston walk. I remember thinking that
totally,
determined, like, get down
totally.
to the ring fast. I'm like, okay.
But I think she's the heel in that match. So I think she didn't want to come across good in any way. I think that, but also if she's the heel, then you got a band playing her music. So you're kind of encouraging everyone to be having fun. I don't know. It didn't quite work, but it was great seeing Joan Jett. I thought that was awesome. And then Becky just, it was her standard entrance, but it's what she does and it's what she does well. So she came down. You had my guy Corey Graves on color. With Michael Cole, whose voice was shredded. Did you notice? Like, holy crap. Corey kept bailing him out that whole match, where Corey would be talking for 2 or 3 minutes because you could tell Michael Cole was probably chugging water because he couldn't. His voice, I've never heard his voice like that before. Like, his voice was done, like completely done. And Renee was out there, which was kind of cool. So they had the three voices. They usually have two now. So I thought that was kind of cool. But yeah, don't hear Michael Cole blow his voice out. I guess the 6 hours in the heat, that's a lot on
It
even
takes its toll.
takes its toll. Yeah. the you know all both belts on the line. There's a lot on the line in a match like that. Becky had the most crowd at the beginning, I noticed. The crowd was really chanting her name. There were signs everywhere. But Charlotte Flair, she's the queen for a reason. Like when we got back into wrestling 7 years ago, she was my first favorite wrestler. Like times have progressed, and my favorite wrestler changes all the time now, depending on my mood. But she was the one that really captured me back then because she's just so damn good. Her face, the cameras on her, she never turns off her eyes. She never stops selling who she is, where she is, why
She
she's doing
owns
what she's
it.
doing. It's incredible. She's so slow with everything she does. Ronda, like Ronda's gone from WWE now. And I feel like I have to say that because now I can trash her. Like she'd be in the room with me or something. But she's not listening now. Now I can talk bad about her. But she didn't know how to slow it down sometimes and just like let the moment breathe because she wasn't her thing. She hadn't been doing it her whole life. But Charlotte, she just knows how to make a moment, just like your dad, make her moment last. She's in no rush to do anything ever. And she'll often make the other person do the first move, like force them to step first, run first, punch first. Just, and if they don't,
Come
then
to
just,
her.
because I heard Ric Flair say that once, that he sometimes he would just like, I'm gonna, without saying anything, just dare them to do the first thing. I'm just gonna stand here. We stand here all night. We stand here all night, you know? And he said that sometimes it turns into a 10-minute standing ovation where people are literally pulling their hair out and they have done nothing. They're just standing there. I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. That's how you control an audience.
That's building tension. That's
Exactly.
exactly that. That's controlling the theatrics of it.
Yeah. Once that match got rolling, the crowd got into it. You could see that everyone had their shot of whiskey or whatever they were doing out in the crowd, because I noticed the crowd started to pick up, and by halfway through the match, the crowd was now cheering again. They were back into it. They were reacting to booing what Ronda was doing, cheering what Becky was doing, and then not sure what to say when Charlotte, because you have three people, and you know, hero and a villain, and Charlotte, like she's great. Everyone like knows she's great, but I think she got to play kind of the neutral role. The I'm Charlotte Flair. I'm probably gonna win both belts anyway. You can't do anything about it. What are you gonna do, right? So yeah, lots of great counters in that match. Like lots of great counters. That was a match of attempted submission holds and attempted dives that somehow the other person reverses into something. There were so many cool counters that I'd never seen done before, into arm bars and into, there was a Boston Crab that Charlotte did out of, I didn't even know where it came from because I think Becky was coming off the top. And all of a sudden, she was in a Boston Crab. I'm like, how did that even work? Like, that's amazing. So, yeah,
Well,
lots
Ronda
of.
Rousey climbing the ropes when she was in that submission rope,
Oh,
that
yeah.
submission. And I was like, damn, that's really cool. You don't see that.
I really loved seeing Charlotte do her dad's flip. I don't know if you caught it. So Becky threw Charlotte into the
Oh,
corner,
yeah.
and she did the awkward flip over that Rick would do outside the ring, and she did her dad's
Yeah.
flip. I'm like, I know that somewhere he was just like, yeah. There she is. Or he's like, that's my move. What are you doing? I didn't say you could do
What are
my
you doing?
flip. Now I'm sure that's not the way it was. Rhonda, you could see her UFC come out every once in a while. She's vicious with the arms. Like the way she would do her arm drags into like an arm lock, I was like, ooh, ooh, be careful. Ooh, don't snap anything there. Like, and I know that's how they want it to look, but why, it's very effective because you know, those elbows and those wrists, I kept waiting to see something snap the way she would whip them over and then crank it down. Like sometimes you see an arm bar from someone that's clearly not trying to hurt anyone with that arm bar, and you go, all right, sell that. And with Ronda, it's like, don't hurt him, just don't hurt him.
She took for me the bump of the match where I wasn't sure if she was legitimately okay. It was, I don't know, it was earlier on in the match, and I can't remember if it was Flair or Becky Lynch had her in a kind of submission, kind of draped over
Oh,
top of the
she's
rope
hanging over the
and
rope.
then
Yeah.
hanging upside down, and then ended up getting dropped. And she dropped, she actually hit the edge of the ring and then hits the floor. I'm like, oh man, you're at the mercy of gravity. You're not prepared
Yeah.
to absorb that at all.
Charlotte was hanging her over, and Becky came running in and did a slide kick through the legs that kicked Rhonda out. And then Rhonda fell. And I
Oh.
think she was just supposed to fall to the floor, but you're right, she hit the apron on the way down, which turned her, and then she landed so awkwardly on her shoulder and head and neck.
Yeah.
It was like, oh geez, yeah, that
Yeah.
made me cringe. Oh, and then Rhonda's leg after all the abuse it took, there was that one
Oh, the
angle where,
bruising.
oh man, just circling her leg. It went from the front of the knee all the way around the back. I'm like, oh my God, these girls are just slaughtering each other. And then Charlotte got that vicious cut in her leg. Or was it her arm? I mean, the back of her arm. But she was the only one, she was the only blood that we saw tonight in the two matches was Charlotte.
Yep.
It was just, it probably was, because they were outside the ring a bunch, just, as you do, slamming each other into ring posts and guard rails and what have you.
They
Well,
got slammed into the guardrails a lot.
a
I was like,
lot.
especially at the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, that's okay. Like very hard-hitting spots. Like they weren't pulling any punches, they weren't easing off the gas pedal at all. Like you mentioned with
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey and her holds, and
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
it was hard hitting. Like I was thinking, if I was in that ring, it wouldn't matter who it was, I'd be getting my
No.
ass kicked.
I loved the Becky Lynch spot off the top rope leg drop that you didn't see coming. So Charlotte had Ronda in the figure four, and that's what you were watching, the or figure four leg lock. Oh, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Becky Lynch is leg dropping off the top rope to break it up. I thought that was great because I until the replay, you don't see Becky climb up. You probably heard a bit of the because someone in the crowd will react and they'll, but
Yeah.
that wasn't the focus of the camera. They totally had me. I didn't see that coming. Obviously, it was great. I thought that was a
Well, and
good spot.
even the announcing crew was like, "Where did she come from?"
Yeah.
So, which always helps sell it too. But yeah, exactly. You're not expecting it. And because I haven't seen a lot of Charlotte Flair, I love that she takes what her dad does and puts her own spin on it,
Totally.
because her theme music is, of course, similar to Ric Flair's, but updated and a little more dancey and very much a different vibe. And I like that she doesn't do the figure four. Like, well, she does the figure four, but she also does the figure eight leg lock. So she's growing, and I really appreciated that, because not having seen a lot of her, I knew she's got the reputation of being very good, but I didn't know what to expect as far as like what I was gonna see. So you're right, like that Flair corner bump where hit and kind of spin to the outside, I was really happy to see that stuff, but really glad that she doesn't live off of that. That's what she does is an homage to that, and
Totally.
she has expanded upon that.
And it's so fun that she also doesn't ignore it either. A lot of wrestlers will try to do their own thing and not acknowledge that that's where they're from. So you can, it's a tricky thing, right? Like you don't want people thinking that you're getting nepotism or that you're getting favorable treatment because you have a family name, or you don't want to have that as your only gimmick. You're just this, the son of whoever, and that's all you'll ever be, you know? So I agree. I like that she's taken just enough of it and made it like her, like Ric Flair is always the one saying now that she took his gimmick and made it better.
One thing I loved watching through the match is just, and it's, I don't even know if it's something that's even intentional, but Becky Lynch's hair throughout the match just got more wild
Yeah.
and more crazy, where she looked at the end. I don't know if you've ever seen the animated movie from Ireland, Wolfwalkers, but
Oh,
it's very much
yeah.
about wildlings, and they have these massive red bushy manes of hair, and I'm like, fuck, she looks like she could be the living embodiment of that movie right now, like just a living wildling. Yeah, it was pretty phenomenal.
It started to heat up near the end. The table came out, and there was a couple of awkward looking table spots where like Charlotte went flying into the table and it barely dented. And I'm like, that probably hurts a lot more when the table actually doesn't give that much. She just sort of bounced off it. I'm like, ooh, ouch. So that was good. There was the double spear. I always like watching one person do a move on two people. So she speared both people, Charlotte Flair. That was good. And then and I love a good finish out of nowhere. So I love a good counter into a pinfall. Didn't see it coming. I also love a bit of controversy at the end too. So shoulder wasn't quite down. Ronda is upset about that. And then they do that perfect angle from where the ref was. He couldn't see that. Like it actually was completely for him a proper pinfall. I don't know if that's intentional or not. I have no idea. It doesn't matter because at the moment they went with it. And Ronda being pissed about it, because Ronda was pissed about it, I suspect that it was supposed to be like that. But who knows? It looks so natural that I also believe that maybe she just was struggling and it was a sloppy pin because that happens. That I've seen that before, and you go with it, you just roll with it. So
This is
yeah,
the finish. Sorry, you didn't execute your part well enough, but this is the finish. And I do like that too. And that is in my notes of like, yeah, I love that there is that tinge of controversy because, well, and she loses her title too,
She
right? So
loses
it's
the
not just
title.
a loss.
Yeah.
She loses her title. And I was curious to know what the fallout of that was too, right? Like, was this a storyline that they actually continued with of the controversial, pin? Or did they just
I'm
basically let
pretty
it
sure
go?
the next night on Raw, Ronda was, filing a complaint with management. I'm pretty sure it was outrage over, because nothing gets more heat with fans than pulling that kind of shit, right? To complain, can I talk to your manager? Can I complain to the boss about I got screwed, right? So yeah, I'm pretty sure that was just fuel for, hey, there's the story now. Let's just roll with that. Now you're mad about that. Perfect.
Well, and like you were talking about earlier with the whole bloodline thing of like whether something happens intentional or not, smart storytelling pivots to embrace what's going on. So if that's intentional or not, what happened in the fallout of this pivoting to embrace that, it's just that's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. So then they fired off every firework that's ever been made because it was the longest fireworks display I've ever seen, and it ended that main event. So yeah, that's a winner as well. I hope you like that one because that's been a favorite of mine for 6 years. So I enjoy that
That
match
was
a lot.
awesome. That was well worth the hype, and that was definitely well worth being a main event at Mania.
Yeah. So that's our WrestleMania deep dives. I think we should do this again next year because I think that's really fun to and we can throughout the year we can take a look at other matches from other pay-per-views and whatever. So it's always fun to revisit the stuff from the past, and especially if it's stuff you don't remember, either you don't remember if it's good or maybe you've never even seen the match. So
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome.
might as well hit our pushes and our tap outs. So start with the tap outs. What do you got this week, Paul?
I am tapping out on tapping out. My tap
Yeah.
out entry is blank and empty. How about
That
you?
means you're a happy camper. That's what that means.
I am a happy camper.
Honestly, mine was empty as well. And so before we start recording, I forced a comment. I just wrote one down because I'm like, I gotta have something, because I've had no tap outs a couple of times. I'm like, what do I got? So it's actually really nothing. I talked about that the card isn't set for Mania, and that there's a bunch of wrestlers that, I'm sure Bianca Belair will be in a match. I'm sure the Kabuki Warriors will be in a match, but Shinsuke Nakamura has had such an incredible year, and I don't think he's going to get a match at Mania. So I'm actually tapping out on not getting Shinsuke a story up until WrestleMania, because his promos, they've been doing these Japanese anime promos I've been telling you about. I've sent you some of them. It's been
Yeah,
just
they're awesome.
amazing. It's been fantastic. I don't think he's going to have a match at Mania, and I think that's really sad. So, and I know it's a huge roster, and they got so many stories, and there's only room for so many people. So it's unfortunate. I think the guy is amazing, and I don't think he's ever truly got his due. I think he deserves a title at least at some point, but may not happen. But anyway, that's my tap out. I think Shinsuke deserves a match at Mania, and if I could have a sign that said "We want Shinsuke," I would do that.
I can get on board with that because yeah, the few YouTube videos you've shown me of the anime promos are phenomenal. I love those.
Yeah. So, what do you got for a push this week?
For push, mine's pretty simple actually. Just because learning the TNA roster, you learn an individual as part of a tag team. It's always really nice to see them on their own because some wrestlers, you can tell they really need the tag team partnership to really get them over and to really function properly. Sometimes on their own, like a Shawn Michaels, you get to see the true talent of them on their own. For me, Ace Austin, I mentioned it earlier, he had a banger of a match with Frankie Kazarian, and it was really refreshing just to see him on his own, see how he moves, how he deals with not being able to just tag out when he's in danger or when he's on his back foot. And yeah, he just moves really, really cool through the ropes and not traditional in a lot of ways, and just a fun, real dynamic energy to him. So yeah, that's my one and only push is Ace Austin.
Nice. Love it.
How about
Love it.
you? Who you pushing this week?
I just got a couple. My first one, I'm giving a push to Bubba Ray of the Bubba Ray Dudleys of the Dudley Boys. You can't say Dudley Boys because WWE owns that, but he's Bubba Ray. And I've been listening to a lot of Busted Open. I got hooked on that podcast. It's really fun to listen to the combination of people they get on there. But Bubba Ray, I've never really heard him talk about wrestling as much as in the last couple of weeks. And man, does he know a lot about wrestling. Like, I really like how, because he learned from Paul Heyman, he learned from the best, and he works with Tommy Dreamer all the time, another one of my guys. Boy, does he know a lot about wrestling. And it's just so much fun to listen to him. He gets so excited talking about everything, women's, men's, AEW, WWE, independent wrestling, doesn't matter. He just knows so much about it. He gets loud, he gets in your face, but it's not annoying. And you know, I wasn't a Dudley Boy fan. I wasn't against them. They were one of the teams. I had my teams and they were one of the teams, and I guarantee they were going to be exciting, whatever they did. But I was never, buying a shirt of the Dudley Boys. But I'm more of a fan of his now, now that I've been following just his brain, his wrestling mind. So yeah.
Nice.
So Bubba Ray, love the guy. And then
Sweet.
the man, Becky Lynch, after watching that match from 6 years ago. And of course, she's got a huge title match coming up at WrestleMania 40 against
Sweet.
Rhea Ripley from Judgment Day. It's going to be amazing. And she's such a good soul. I hear her interviewed and she just sounds like the sweetest, nicest little lady. And then you see her with blood come out of her nose and she's punching people through tables. Like, I love that sort of Jekyll and Hyde personality of these wrestlers. Like, she trained in Vancouver. Like, she would have been wrestling locally in Vancouver when I lived there. I didn't
Oh
know that.
wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I had no idea. Her and Finn Balor were both doing that. I didn't know that. So,
Oh wow.
her first gimmick was well, you remember the Irish dancing with the swords?
Yeah.
You ever, yeah, that's her gimmick was that. She would come out dancing with a skirt and the high socks and stuff. Like, she admits that's the worst gimmick ever, but that's what she was given. That was what she was. She rocked that, and now she's the
Yeah.
man. Now she's, her and Seth Rollins, like the power couple of professional wrestling. So, yeah, Becky Lynch, the man. She's awesome.
Nice.
Okay, well, it's time to wrap things up. Huge thanks to all the listeners that joined us this week. Don't forget to subscribe and download the episode in your podcast app of choice. Every little bit helps us. Spotify users, you can now interact directly with the podcast in-app as we add Q&As and polls for every episode, so check those out. And we even try and read out your responses, so let us have them. And you can now reach the podcast on Instagram at Murder Gymnastics Pod. I try and post daily, so pop on over for fun memes, pics, and videos. And of course, Paul, if people got nothing going on, what should they do?
Go watch some wrestling! Yeah!